Jewish.
And also Indian.
Good to see all of you here today. Glad that God has gathered us all together to receive his gift of forgiveness in word and in sacrament. Got some people who straggled in yet. Wasn't talking about me telling or treason. There's still some others, I'm sure they'll come in. For our time of catechesis, we are on the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's on page 324, if you need it. What is the sixth petition?
Lead us not into temptation.
What does this mean?
God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false believing, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and amend the victory.
This was so controversial a few years ago that Pope Francis rewrote the Lord's Prayer because he didn't think that Jesus got it right. And he said, lead us not into temptation. A key thing here is the distinction between testing and tempting. We usually think of God testing us, giving us an opportunity to do something good, to show ourselves faithful, and we think of the devil tempting us, giving us opportunities to show ourselves to be unfaithful. But that's just sort of a subjective thing because it's really the same, right? When God tested Abraham, he gave Abraham an opportunity to show himself faithful, but Abraham could have just as easily showed himself to be unfaithful. So whether it's to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing maybe is what dictates how we translate that, but the end result of showing ourselves to be faithful or unfaithful is still essentially the same. Different result, but the idea that there is an end result that shows that is the same. Here, of course, Luther invokes what we call the unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, or many of us learned it, sinful flesh, may not deceive us or mislead us. And notice that is the first thing he says, right? May not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, those are the wrong belief, despair, which is sort of giving up the belief altogether, and other great shame and vice. Everything else sort of gets swept together into that other great shame and vice, but it's the wrong belief or the no belief that are really going to be the critical things to lead us away from God so that we are outside of his forgiveness of sins and salvation. So those are the things that he is most concerned about. And he recognizes, of course, that we're going to be attacked by these things, but then we pray here in the Lord's Prayer that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. And not that we overcome them and win the victory on our own, but we do that insofar as we are in Christ, as we were just talking about in adult Bible class with this idea that the devil, that Jesus crushes the devil's head and the people in Rome trample him under their feet insofar as they are in Christ. Other comments or questions here on the sixth petition? Okay, very good. The preparation for setting one is on page 151. I invite you to turn there and please stand on your own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives all of our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body,
and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And to the Father, and to the
is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The epistle reading is from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace, and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up,
that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 708. Thank you. join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear of conflict, such as the latest conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran, we may think primarily of the people of those countries or the places where they live. We may remember that such conflict can go back almost to the beginning, when the people and the places had different names, even if we do not always remember what those different names were. So when we hear, for example, in today's Old Testament reading, names of people such as the Canaanites and places such as Haran, it can be helpful for us to look both at genealogies to see how the people fit and at maps to locate the places today. Understanding the context of the Old Testament reading is necessary for our understanding the reading itself. How God told Abram to go from his country, his kindred, and his father's house to the land that God would show him. And how Abram went in faith that God gave him. And so how God gives us faith to go out with good courage. At the time of today's Old Testament reading, Abram and those with him were in Haran, in what we might think of as modern-day Syria, having already come from Ur in modern-day Iraq. Although not all Bible commentators agree on the precise details, Abram's father Terah, a descendant of Noah's son Shem, for some reason took his family from Ur in order to go to the land of Canaan, the land of the descendants of Noah's son Ham. But some 600 miles later, the group settled along the way in Haran, where Terah died either before or after Abram and his family, including his nephew Lot, whose father had died, left from there in order to go the remaining 400 miles or so to finish the journey to Canaan at God's command and promise. The seminaries of our church body hold special services, both to place vicars, essentially student pastors, in congregations, and to call pastoral candidates to congregations. At one of the first of such services that I attended, the preacher based his sermon on today's Old Testament reading, likening the Lord's commanding Abram to go out in faith to Canaan to the Lord's calling the pastoral candidates to go out in faith to wherever they were going, wherever the Lord was calling them. Sometimes the pastoral candidates' places were, in some sense, unknown. And there were no smartphones back then in order to look up the place in the middle of the service. Other times the places were known, often for their remoteness, and their announcement could elicit an audible gasp. When my first call was announced to Trinity Lutheran Church in Fernie and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Elkford, British Columbia, I already knew a little about that dual parish because a friend of mine was serving as the vicar there that year. My move from St. Catharines to Fernie was about 2,500 miles, 2.5 times Abram's distance from Ur to Canaan. And I had professional movers with a semi-trailer full of bubble wrap, sheets of packing paper, and variously sized cardboard boxes. which Abraham did not have, though his nomadic life might have lent itself better to his move with its unique logistics. You do not have to be a pastor, nor do you even have to move around between jobs in order for you to struggle with faith to go out with good courage. All the figurative journeys that are our lives have unforeseen twists and turns, such as unplanned children, the move of a classmate or friend, sudden changes at work, the uncertain path that pilgrim is on, the illness or death of a spouse, and so forth. And of course, before the Holy Spirit leads us to trust in God for salvation and for everything else, by nature, we are like Terah and Abram, like they were before the Holy Spirit came to them. That is, idolaters, trusting and serving other gods, and so deserving both death here and now and torment in hell for eternity. As we prayed in the Collect of the Day, of ourselves we have no strength. We are completely dependent on God. As St. Paul writes elsewhere in Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ is the offspring of Abram, through whom all the families of the earth are blessed. Jesus Christ is the promised offspring of the woman who, as we heard last week, would irrecoverably bruise or crush the serpent's head, though the serpent would recoverably bruise or strike the offspring's heel. That promise was narrowed down first to Shem's line and then to Abram's line, as we heard in today's Old Testament reading. Abram had to wait another 25 years for the birth of Isaac, and another 2,000 years would pass before the birth of Jesus, but the promise was fulfilled. Jesus is the Son of God, in human flesh descended from Abram, and Jesus lived a perfect life and died on the cross for us, in our place, as our substitute. As we heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus' death on the cross is how God loved the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Even though our believing sounds like something that we do, our faith is a gift from God. Trust in him that did not previously exist, but exists now. And our belief, our faith, our trust in God is not generic belief or faith or trust in God, but it is specific. Belief that God has done, faith that God is doing, and trust that God will do specific things, such as Abram's belief that we heard in today's epistle reading, that God would give Abram innumerable descendants, such as our faith that God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake, and our trust that God will bring us who share the faith of Abram to an inheritance better than the promised land of Canaan. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us, then God does forgive us. God forgives our lack of trust in him and our trusting in and serving other gods. God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. God forgives us through his word and sacraments. His word attached to physical means, the very means by which we specifically believe that God forgives us. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, the Lord initiated his relationship with Abram, appearing to him. Then Abram responded in faith, building altars to the Lord and calling upon the name of the Lord. In time, the Lord renamed him Abraham and gave him circumcision as an efficacious sign of their covenant relationship. That sign was applied to every male among them at the age of 8 days. In today's gospel reading, Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, should have understood the need for a second birth, a birth from above by water and the Spirit, in order to see and enter the kingdom of God. And whether or not the gospel reading uses a word from the baptism word group, baptism is what Jesus is talking about. What St. Paul elsewhere calls the washing of water and the word, and the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Under normal circumstances, baptism is necessary, because by it, God saves us who receive baptism in faith. Whether we are 8 days old, 8 years old, or 8 decades old, we all come to the font as helpless infants born of sinful flesh, and we leave born of the Holy Spirit. So baptized, we confess to our pastors the sins that we know and feel in our heart. We confess the sins that particularly trouble us for the sake of holy absolution, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. And so absolved, we are admitted to the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood, which under normal circumstances is also necessary for salvation. To say that Abram leapt into the unknown is a bit of an overstatement, since if nothing else, God promised to show Abram the land, and the land obviously was known to God, which arguably should have been enough for Abram. We do not know exactly what our promised land of eternal life will be like, but we trust God to bless us both on our way, and when at last we get to what our hymn of the day called Abram's bosom. There are no turn-by-turn directions, as with Google Maps, Waze, or any other such global positioning service navigation. But as we sang in today's psalm, the Lord preserves our going out from his presence and our coming into his presence. In that regard, we need, and so we encourage people to serve the church and be willing to go where the Lord sends them. And we know that the Lord preserves us all through our lives' unforeseen twists and turns, such as unplanned children, the move of a classmate or friend, sudden changes at work, the uncertain path that pilgrim is on, the illness of or death of a spouse, and so forth. The earth where we live is presently possessed by unbelievers, so we who believe wander as strangers and pilgrims here. Even the latest conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran should not cause us to be afraid. In today's Old Testament reading, the Lord promised Abram that the Lord would bless those who blessed Abram, and that him who dishonored Abram, the Lord would curse. Not that we confuse the modern state of Israel, much less the United States, with Abram's spiritual descendants, but world powers such as Babylon, Greece, and Rome are said to have suffered defeat, while God has upheld his promise to his people. The curse humankind brought upon the earth, followed by the confusion of languages and dispersal of nations over the face of all the earth, is undone in Christ Jesus, followed by the unity of believers from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages in the church. We trust God for salvation and all that goes along with it. As necessary, praying for God to increase our faith, especially faith to go out with good courage. As a collect of the church puts it, to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden and through perils unknown, knowing that his hand is leading us and his love supporting us. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With thanksgiving for God the Father's loving the world by giving his only Son to be lifted up on the cross, and his sending his Holy Spirit to call us to repentance, for us and all who believe, that receiving God's forgiveness through his word and sacraments, we might have faith to go out with good courage until his angels come and to Abram's bosom bear us home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that she would speak of what she knows and bear witness to what she has seen. For the persecuted, that they would remain faithful even unto death. For those with oversight responsibility in the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, to hold pastors and congregations to their commitments to teach and practice according to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. For pastoral candidates to be called and pastoral vacancies to be filled. For Lutheran Heritage Foundation, that the organization might give more books of the Lutheran faith to people around the world in their own languages. And for this congregation, that the Lord would return absent members, prosper our Sunday school, increase our offerings, and guide our walking together. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all of the baptized, that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have never believed and those who have strayed from the faith, that God might work through us to reach them with his word of law and gospel, that they too might be accounted righteous by faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For for favorable weather, especially that he who knows where the wind comes from and where it goes to would send needed rain to ease the moderate drought in our area and other drought conditions across our state and country. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that we would have a functional federal government and civil relations with and between the states. For the safety of non-combatants in war zones, for all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, for all people to be good citizens, and for those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments, that they would be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Brady, David, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that the Lord who kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage would do likewise with them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted, for victims of violent crime, that they may feel safe again, for those imprisoned and their families, that they might have hope and patience, for those shut in and otherwise homebound, that God, by his word and sacraments, might be present with them where they are, for David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Mary Sue, Bob, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing, that the Lord might deliver them from their afflictions in his time and way, and to that end, for all those who serve in medical professions, that they might be strengthened and upheld in every good work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that the Lord might meet their spiritual and material needs. For George and Jeanette, as they attend to the care of Jeanette's mother in their home. For all expectant mothers and their children, that they might be brought safely to delivery. For all God's people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content. For us to be better defenders of God's gift of human life, and for all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for God's blessings of physical and spiritual life to Bethany, for her, that God might continue to grant her physical life according to his will, help her to remember and use her baptism, and preserve her in her baptismal grace all the days of her life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ.
shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior.